Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
Football is the most popular sport in America right now, but it wasn't always that way. Other sports led the way, but it all changed on a date, October 22nd, 1939, and we'll discuss that and more in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and you have come to the Football History Headlines, our daily podcast that's going to tell about everything that's happened on the date of October 22nd. And we're going to go to a real big one that really started the popularity of football as we know it. It happened on October 22nd, 1939. NBC became the first network to televise pro football in a game as it broadcast the Brooklyn Dodgers defeating the Philadelphia Eagles 23-14 at Brooklyn's Ebbets Field. Then, October 22nd, 1950, at Kazar Field in San Francisco, California, the San Francisco 49ers earned their very first win in the NFL in their sixth game in the league when they defeated the Detroit Lions 28-27 at Kazar Field. The team was founded in 1946 as a charter member of the All-American Football Conference, AAFC, and it joined the NFL in 1949 when the leagues merged. The 49ers franchise is the first major league professional sports franchise based in San Francisco. We happen to have some more news from that same exact day, October 22nd, 1950, only this time in Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in LA, California. The LA Rams soundly defeated the Baltimore Colts 70-27. The Rams were being called a point-per-minute team as they definitely made their case for that title in this game. Dual quarterbacks Norm Van Brocklin and Bob Waterfield each had multiple touchdown tosses for the Rams, as Vitamin Smith scored twice, one of them being a 95-yard kick return to run the Rams' point total machine. Our next headline that we cover is some safety innovation in the football game. October 22nd, 1971, air valve is placed in a helmet for the very first time by an executive at Rydell. The insertion of air is an aspect of better custom fit and protection for players to suit all sizes and shapes of heads, and it gives that players extra protection on their noggin. Our next news flash from the past took place in New Orleans, Louisiana on October 22, 1984. NFL quarterback Ken the Snake Stabler retires after 15 brilliant seasons in the NFL. He played with the Oakland Raiders for 10 seasons before being traded to the Houston Oilers, where he played for 3 years. His bio on the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website indicates that Stabler retired after the third game in the 1984 season after struggling through two injury-plagued seasons with New Orleans Saints. We hope these football history headlines have been very helpful to you and that you're getting all kinds of education about football history from it. And if you are, we'd like to hear from you at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. You can also see us on Twitter and Facebook and give us a DM on that. And now I want you to hear from somebody that's a real expert on history, one of my fellow podcasters on the Sports History Network.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
Our next headline is record-breaking, and it happened on October 22nd, the year 2000. The Cincinnati Bengals' Corey Dillon rushes for 278 yards on 22 carries to set the single-game rushing record in one game versus the Denver Broncos. The previous record was Walter Payton's 275-yard game during the 1977 season. Dillon's yardage did not go to waste either, as he led the Bengals to a 31-21 victory over Denver on that day. Next stop on our football history headlines, it takes us on October 22nd, year 2000. The Vikings kicker Gary Anderson boots a 21-yard field goal against the Buffalo Bills, and that takes him past George Blanda as the NFL's all-time scoring leader with 2,004 career points. Our football history podcast for October 22nd would not be complete unless we talked about some Hall of Famers that celebrate some birthdays on this anniversary. So we're going to go to October 22nd, 1879 in Columbus, Ohio, and Joseph Francis Carr was born. Who is Joe Carr, you may ask? Joe was the NFL's president from 1921 through 1939, taking the league from its infancy in an era before games were televised and transformed a small-town localized event into major cities across the country. Before the NFL had formed, Joe had helped revive Columbus Panhandles in 1907 with railroad workers and helped the team to become one of the initial teams to join the AFPA, the predecessor to the NFL, and 2 years later after that. He was also one of the founders and president of the American Basketball League, ABL, from 1925 to 1927, and had some dealings in making minor league baseball stronger, too. Joe Carr was one of the 17 inaugural inductees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 1963. Our next legend who's celebrating a birthday, you may ask? Well, he was born on October 22nd, 1923 in Orlando, Florida. Pete Pyos, the fantastic end and later fullback from Indiana University, was born. The National Football Foundation's website states that Pete was noted by multiple experts in 1943, including the noted sports writer Grantland Rice, to be one of the top receivers in football that season. He was an All-American in multiple polls in 1943, but then served his country in the war efforts the following season. After serving in the U.S. Army, Pyos returned to Indiana to become the Hoosiers' fullback in 1945 and 1946. And he, with the help of others, helped the team go to 9-0-1 with a record and win the Big Ten Championship, the first in Indiana history. Pete had the most team receptions in 1942 and 1943, it led Indiana in rushing yards in 1946 and topped all Hoosiers in scoring in 1945 and 46, and in a senior citizen was the team's most valuable player. The National Football Foundation selected Pete Pyos to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1966. After graduation, Pete was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles in 1945, but again, he served in the U.S. military for 2 additional seasons before reporting to the Eagles. At first, he was a two-way end in Philly. But after a season, the coaching staff asked him to concentrate on his offensive skill set. According to his bio on the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website, the Eagles in 1952 found themselves in need of a defensive end. Knowing the skill set of Pyos, they called on his versatility, and he not only took the field with the D, but he also earned all NFL honors at the position. Then, for the remaining 3 years of his career, he switched back to the offense and led the league in receiving all 3 seasons. Pete Pyos entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 1970. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away two copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sturneman collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you will enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!